हरे कृष्ण। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। सो आई एम हैप्पी टू बी बैक अमंगस्ट ऑल ऑफ यू अगेन। सो लास्ट मंथ वी हैड थर्ड कैंटो 5th to 12th चैप्टर्स। नाउ वी विल हैव थर्ड कैंटो 21st चैप्टर ऑनवर्ड्स दिस 3 days। So, the 21st chapter of third canto begins the description of the dynasty of Swayambhu Manu. So, in the 12th chapter last month, we have discussed how Brahmaji created Swayambhu Manu and Shatarupa. So, after that, Swayambhu Manu asks Brahmaji, "So, where should I stay? Show me my place." So, the earth is drowning in Garbhodaka ocean. Then in response to that, Brahmaji starts, he also was wondering how to retrieve the earth. Then Lord Varahadeva manifests and lifts the earth, and the whole discussion goes into Varahadeva episode from then onwards, from 13th chapter. 13th chapter is one Varahadeva. So in that chapter, Maitreya Muni combines another Varahadeva. One Varahadeva, Sweta Varaha, came in the Swayambhu Manvantara. Then in Chakshusa Manvantara, another Varahadeva came, Nila Varaha. So both of them are combined and presented. So in one Sweta Varaha incarnation, Lord only lifted the earth. In the Chakshusa Manvantara, Lord Varahadeva also killed Hiranyaksha. So Vidura asks, who is this Hiranyaksha? So how did this fight happen? Then the whole discussion is about Varahadeva and Hiranyaksha episode. So that is there till 3rd canto 19th chapter. It began in 13. Then the background of Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu were given in 14th chapter, where Diti meets Kashyapa at a wrong time, and then they had this Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, and their curse incident was discussed in 15th and 16th chapters, the description of kingdom of Godhead. Then 17, 18, 19 elaborately describes the fight between Hiranyaksha and Varahadeva. 20th chapter kind of summarizes Brahmaji's creation so far. So it is 12th chapter expanded little more. So Bhutas, Pretas, Pishachas, all these were also created in the 20th chapter. So that description is there. So till 20th chapter, we had these contents. So now Vidura asks in the 21st chapter, what did Swayambhu Manu do? How did he create progeny? So he had 3 daughters and 2 sons. So they were married and they increased the population of this universe. How did this exactly happen? So that's how Vidura inquires. The chapter begins like that. Text 1. Third canto, 21st chapter. Conversation between Manu and Kardama. Text number 1. Vidura uvacha. स्वयंभुवस्य च मनोर् वंशः परमसम्मतः कथ्यतां भगवन् यत्र मैथुनेनैधिरे प्रजाः।
Vidura said, "The line of Swayambhu Manu was most esteemed. O worshipful sage, I beg you, give me an account of this race, whose progeny multiplied through sexual intercourse."
Swayambhuvasya cha manor vamsaha paramasammataha. Paramasammataha means very exalted, very esteemed dynasty. Swayambhu Manu's dynasty is very esteemed. So it is the first dynasty in one sense. So he is the first Manu created. So kathyatam bhagavan yatra maithunye nadhire prajah. How did this dynasty expand? Through the medium of maithuna. Maithuna means sexual intercourse. So by sexual intercourse, this dynasty expanded and filled the universe with lot of population. So how did this happen? Now Vidura is a renunciant at this stage. He left Hastinapur kingdom and he is traveling in holy places of pilgrimage. And Maitreya Muni is already staying at Haridwar. He is also detached. So now two detached people are discussing about how the universal population increased, right? How through the medium of sex life progeny increased in this universe, right? So there is nothing wrong in this discussion, because this is a discussion about the dynasty of Swayambhumanu, not any ordinary personality. And who is Swayambhumanu? In the third canto, 13th chapter, if you remember, he was introduced like this. Adi Rajena. He is the original king. Right? He is a great devotee. So, you can open third canto, 13th verse. You can show in folio in this screen. 3.13. It comes in the second or third verse. Not fourth verse. चरितं तस्य राजर्षेर् आदिराजस्य सत्तमः नेक्स्ट् ब्रूहिमे श्रद्धधानाय विश्वक्षेणाश्रयोऽस्यः असौ सो चरितं तस्य राजर्षेर् आदिराजस्य सत्तमः सो ऐ वाण्ट् टु नो अबौट् दि चरित द हिस्ट्री द स्टोरी आफ् दिस् आदिराज द ओरिजिनल् किङ्ग् स्वयंभूमनु ब्रूहिणः श्रद्धधानस्य ऐ एम् वेरि इण्ट्रेस्टेड् टु नो अबौट् दि डैनेस्टि आफ् स्वयंभूमनु Why? Because Vishvakshena Ashrayo Hyasau. He has taken shelter of Lord Vishvakshena, the Supreme Lord. Anyone who takes shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is a devotee and his activities are worth hearing and discussing even amongst renunciants. Right? So Lord does not consider whether someone is in a household, someone is a householder or a renunciant. He considers whether he is a devotee or not. So as long as a personality's activities are centered around devotional service, performed as an offering to Krishna, so his activities are worth hearing. So next 3 days, we will discuss about the household life of Kardama Muni. So this household life is very exemplary. Devahuti is a very wonderful personality, and same with Kardama Muni. So Prabhupada gives very wonderful lessons about this exemplary household life. So, you can go to the next verse. Srutasya pumsam sujirashramasya nanvanjasa suribhiriditurthaha tattat gunanu shravanam mukunda padaravindam hrudayeshu yesham. So, Srutasya pumsam sujirashramasya. Devotee is here about the Supreme Lord with great labor. Sujirashramasya for a long time. Such devotees should also hear about devotees. Devotees hear about the Lord. Devotee should also hear about the devotees. Right? Nanvanjasa suribhir iditortaha. Suri means devotees. Idita means whatever they have done. So nanvanjasa suribhir iditortaha. Tattat gunanusravanam mukunda padaravindam hrudayeshu yesham. Because they have placed the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord within their hearts, their activities are worth hearing. So by hearing about great devotees, we get inspiration to perform our devotional service. So Bhagavatam is a combination of the episodes of the Supreme Lord, his incarnations and his devotees also. Right? Bhagavatam is a description about Bhagavan and Bhagavatas also. So hearing about devotee is what we are going to do in the next 4 or 5 chapters. So the purpose of hearing is fulfilled when we hear about devotees. Right? So that is what this verse also says. So Prabhupada writes in this purport, regulated sex life to generate good population is worth accepting. Actually, Vidura was not interested in hearing the history of persons who are merely engaged in maithuna. Right? He says, maithunyena dhire prajaha. So although he is asking how did they engage in sex life and create progeny, he is not interested in hearing about the sex life of some ordinary personalities. He is interested in Swayambhumanu. Manu, because he was interested in the progeny of Swayambhumanu, because in that dynasty, good devotee kings appeared, who protected their subjects very carefully with spiritual knowledge. By hearing the history of their activities, therefore, one becomes more enlightened. One becomes more enlightened by hearing about devotees. In other words, sex life for creating exemplary population is accepted to all sages and authorities of Vedic scripture. So, parama sammataha, it is accepted and approved. So, it is nothing illegal there. Next, second verse. And this is done as a service to the Supreme Lord, as we will hear the consciousness of Kardama Muni. Priyavratottana padau sutau svayambhuvasya vai yatha dharmam jugupataha saptadvipavatim mahim.
The two great sons of Svayambhuva Manu, Priyavrat and Uttanapad, ruled the world, consisting of seven islands, just according to religious principles.
So, the sons of Svayambhuva Manu are definitely very great, Uttanapada and Priyavrata. So, they ruled the earth with in accordance to dharma. So, Prabhupada writes in this purport, the activities of great kings, important kings like Priyavrata, Uttanapada, Ramachandra, Yudhishthira Maharaj, they are all recorded because the activities of such pious kings are worth hearing and people may benefit by studying their histories.
Tascha vaiduhita brahman devahutiti vishruta patni prajapate rukta kardamasya tvayanagha. O holy Brahmana, O sinless one, you have spoken of his daughter, known by the name Devahuti, as the wife of the sage Kardama, the lord of created beings.
So, Devahuti is a very famous chaste lady. She is the wife of Kardama Muni. So, I want to hear about her. So, here Vidura is asking. So, here Prabhupada writes that we are speaking here about this Manu, Svayambhu Manu, whose daughter is Devahuti. There is another Manu, Chakshusha Manu. So like that, in Brahmaji's life, there are 14 Manvantaras. Each Manvantara is presided by a personality called Manu. So he rules for around 71 Divya Yugas approximately. Then next Manu will come. So Prabhupada clarifies that. Fourth verse.
Tasyam Savai Mahayogi Yuktayam Yoga Lakshanaihi Sasarjakatidha Viryam Tanme Susrushave Vada. How many offsprings did that great yogi beget through the princess who was endowed with eightfold perfection in the yoga principles? Oh, please pray tell me this, for I am eager to hear it.
Tasyam Savai Mahayogi. In the first line of this verse, Kardama Muni is described as Mahayogi. He is a perfect yogi. He has the perfection of all eight mystic siddhis. In the next chapter we will see, next to next chapter, 23rd chapter, we will see how with his yogic powers he has created a big aerial mansion. That is like big palace, flying palace with all kinds of opulences. Right? He is a Mahayogi, and the yoga that he is doing is not simply exercises, it is devotional service also. Yuktayam Yoga Lakshanaihi. The second line refers to Devahuti. Kardama Muni is described as Mahayogi, Devahuti is described as Yoga Lakshanaihi. Right? So with the Sasarja Katidha Viryam Tanme Susrushave Vada. So, how did they procreate and created children? Sasarja, Katidha Viryam, Tanme Susrusha Vivada. I am very eager to hear how they created progeny. So, that was his question. So, Vidura inquired about Kardama Muni and his wife Devahuti and about their children. It is described here that Devahuti was much advanced in the performance of Eightfold Yoga. That Yoga Lakshanai is there, right? So there are eight limbs of Ashtanga Yoga. They will be more elaborately described in 3rd Canto, 28th chapter by Kapila. So there are eight processes in performing Ashtanga Yoga. So by that we will attain eight perfections. They are Ashtasiddhis. anima, mahima, laghima, all that. So asana, what is that? Beginning. Yama, niyama, asana, pranayama. So all that, these are the eight limbs of Ashtanga Yoga. There are eight siddhis, right? Yogic perfections. So the husband was Mahayogi and the wife was a Yoga Lakshana, advanced in yoga. So Prabhupada writes, there is no recommendation in the Vedic scriptures that one can go on enjoying material sense gratification at one's whims, as one likes, and at the same time become a great meditator by paying a rascal some money. So Prabhupada is saying that when someone is performing yoga, that cannot be combined with material sense gratification. So the practice has to be done with certain, by following certain rules and regulations. Right? So often times in these purports, Prabhupada criticizes the modern way of practicing yoga. Ruchiryo Bhagavan Brahman Daksho va Brahmana Sutaha Yathasa Sarja Bhutani Labdha Bharyam Chamanavim.
O holy sage, tell me how the worshipful Ruchi and Daksha, the son of Brahma, generated children after securing as their wives the other two daughters of Swayambhuva Manu.
So Swayambhuva Manu had three daughters, Devahuti, Akuti and Prasuti. Devahuti was married to Kardama Muni, so he inquired about her in the fourth verse. Now Vidura is inquiring about the other two daughters. So Ruchi married Akuti and Prasuti married Daksha. So Prasuti and Akuti were married to Ruchi and Daksha. Ruchi is a sage. So Daksha, you know, Prajapati. So how did they create progeny? So the answer to this question will come actually in the fourth canto, first chapter, which we will discuss on the last day. So now answer to the fourth question. The question in the fourth verse, that will come in the rest of the third canto. So the rest of the third canto is Devahuti and her household life and her marriage and progeny, right? All the great personalities who increased the population in the beginning of the creation are called Prajapatis. Prajapati means one who creates Praja. So Brahma is also called Prajapati. He created a lot of Praja. Right, he is the original Prajapati. So aham samamnaya mayastapomayaha Prajapati naam abhivanditah pati. So Brahmaji is fixed up in his yoga practice and austerities, and so many Prajapatis also would come and offer obeisances to him. He is the creator of many Prajapatis who created a lot of population to populate this universe. Right. So Brahma is also known as a Prajapati, as were some of his later sons. Manu is also known as Prajapati. Daksha is another son of Brahma. He is also Prajapati. He is expert Prajapati. He is one of the chief Prajapatis. And now Prajapati Ruchi also married Akuti and Daksha married Prasuti. So how did they beget population in the beginning of the creation? That was his question. So these are the first five verses where Vidura is inquiring about the dynasty of Swayambhu Manu. First five verses describe Vidura's inquiries about the dynasty of Swayambhu Manu. No, Maitreya will respond. Maitreya uvacha prajasrijeti bhagavan kardamo brahmanoditah sarasvatyam tapastepe sahasaran samadasha.
The great sage Maitreya replied, commanded by Lord Brahma to beget children in the worlds, the worshipful Kardama Muni practiced penance on the bank of river Saraswati for a period of 10,000 years.
Prajaha srijeti bhagavan kardamo brahmanoditah. So this is a very key verse to understand the character of Kardama Muni. Prajaha srijeti, to create population, praja, children, bhagavan, kardamo brahmanoditaha. So why did he get this thought of creating progeny? Brahmana uditaha. Brahmaji told him. Brahmaji ordered Kardama Muni, you create progeny. Because this is the beginning of the creation, Brahmaji created Kardama Muni, is one of the direct sons of Brahmaji. And he told him, you should beget children. So Saraswatyam tapastepe sahasaran samadisha. Before entering household life to create progeny, Kardamuni wanted to purify himself by performing so many austerities. By performing austerities, one will train oneself to become detached from material enjoyment. Right? One will train oneself to reject material pleasures. Unless that kind of cultivation of detachment and voluntary acceptance of inconveniences is there, the training is there, one cannot live household life properly. Right? So household life may facilitate one to get carried away by enjoyment, but this kind of training before entering household life of accepting austerities is very crucial and important and helpful for householders. So Kardamuni got an order from Brahmaji, you create progeny. So he did not immediately get married. Before getting married, he wanted to perform some austerities to purify himself, to prepare his consciousness to accept a serious responsibility of household life and begetting children. When he trains himself nicely by practicing austerities, by accepting some inconveniences, and then creates progeny, he will be able to train his children also in that way. Right? So, we have this example of Prachina Barhi sending his 10 sons Prachetas to do austerities before entering household life. We have this example of Daksha. He created 10,000 sons. His name is Daksha because he is very expert in creating progeny. He is a very great Prajapati. So he begot 10,000 sons. He had sent all of them. You go and perform austerities before accepting household life. So they went. So, but Narada Muni came and again he created 10,000 more sons that are called Shavalaswas. They were also sent for training. So this kind of training before entering household life is recommended in the Vedic scriptures. So Kardama Muni is also doing that. And the consciousness of parents at the time of conception will be transferred to the child. So parents, when they unite, they would attract a child of that consciousness. So parents would, before creating progeny, they would prepare their consciousness by accepting this austerities and meditation. So then the progeny that will be created will be more responsible and civilized and cultured people. Right? So that is the purpose of his austerities. So in those days they can do 10,000 years of austerities, that's not a big thing. Right, in Kali Yuga one may undergo training for 1 year, 2 years, at the max 4 or 5 years, but their training is 10,000 years, sometimes underwater, like that. So they have that capacity. Therefore, yoga practice can be successfully performed by persons who have very long duration of life, following the regulations, controlling the senses and practicing the different sitting postures. Prabhupada is saying basically about yama, niyama, asana, pranayama, pratyahara, all that. We do not know how people can be captivated by the bogus yoga system in which it is stated that simply by meditating for 15 minutes daily, one can get the perfection of becoming one with God. Right? Even after 10,000 years of austerities, they don't become gods. Kardama Muni. Even after 60,000 years of austerity, Vishwamitra can never become God. Or Valmiki never become God. So if thousands of years of austerities cannot make one God, how can 15 minutes of meditation make one God? That is Prabhupada's argument. Actually, there is no possibility of attaining yoga perfection by such paltry proposals. In this Kali Yuga, there is only one way of perfection, that is Harer Namaeva Kevalam. Kalo Nasti Eva, Nasti Eva, Nasti Eva, Gatiranyatha. Whenever yoga comes, whenever yajna comes, Prabhupada always says holy name. So that is our yoga, that is our yajna. Right. So Kardama Muni was commanded by Lord Brahma to beget children. And as a sage, he was desiring an offspring of some holy tendencies. If the offspring should have some holy tendencies, the person who is begetting those children also should have holy tendencies. For that, he needs to follow some holy practices. So that is the purpose of his austerities. So Brahmaji ordered Kardamamuni to create progeny, and Kardamamuni performed austerities before creating progeny. So that is the storyline till now. Seventh verse. Tatasamadhiyuktena kriyayogena kardamah samprapede harim bhaktya prapannavaradasusham tatasamadhiyogena kriyayogena kardamah samprapede harim bhaktya prapannavaradasusham.
During that period of penance, the sage Kardama, by worship through devotional service in trance, propitiated the personality of Godhead, who is quick bestower of all blessings upon those who flee to him for protection.
Tata samadhi yuktena kriyayogena kardamaha. So kriyayogena, Prabhupada says kriyayoga here is bhakti yoga, because that is coming in the next line also. Samprapede harim bhaktya. So the yoga involves so many practices. All these practices are done in a mood of devotion to the Supreme Lord. Samprapede harim bhaktya. In a mood of devotional service to Hari. Samprapede. In a mood of service to bhakti, service to Hari. So there is samprapede, there is bhaktya to Hari. So Hari is placed between samprapede and bhaktya. Means he has devotion, he is rendering service to Lord Hari. Prapanna Varadasusham. Who is that Hari? Hari is that personality who can bestow all desirable benedictions upon one who surrenders unto him. Prapanna Varada Asusham. Right? Asusha is blessings. So Varan Vibhotad Varadeshwarad Buddha. Katham Vrinete Gunavikriyatmanam Yenarakanam Abhisanti Dehinam Tani Shakaivalyapathe Vrinenacha. This is how Prithvi Maharaj prays in the beginning. Varan vibho tvad varadeshwarad buddhaha. My dear Lord, you are the king of all bestowers of benedictions. You are the best of all bestowers of benedictions. That's why you are varadeshwarad. Varada means one who gives vara, blessings or benedictions. Varadeshwarad means best of all of them. Varadaraj. We worship the Lord as Varadaraj in Kanchipuram. So he is prapanna varadasusham. So he offered obeisances to Hari. He was performing austerities. These are not just austerities on a material plane. These are austerities meant for pleasing the Supreme Lord. Right? He is doing austerities and so many other practices in a mood of devotion, in a mood of service to the Supreme Lord, and he is worshipping Lord Hari. So he is performing bhakti. He is a great devotee, Kardamamuni, at this stage. And what is his desire at this point? He wants to fulfill the order given to him by his authority, Brahmaji. Brahmaji ordered him, my dear Kardamamuni, you should beget progeny, beget children. So he wanted to fulfill that order given to him by his father. So he is trying to fulfill that order, not in a passionate way, but in a devotional way. He wants to purify himself before begetting children. And how he wants to purify himself? By worshipping the Supreme Lord, by performing bhakti yoga. That's what he is doing. The significance of meditation is described here. Kardamamuni practiced mystic yoga meditation for 10,000 years. Whether one practices yoga or speculates or does research to find God, one's efforts must be mixed with the process of devotion. Without devotion, nothing can be perfect. That's why bhaktya is mentioned here. So Prabhupada says, Yoginama Bisarvesham Madgadena Antaratmana Shraddhavan Bhajate Yomam Same Yukta Tamo Mataha. The person who is Krishna conscious is the best yogi. Devotional service or engagement in Krishna consciousness is the direct method, and all other methods, although recommended, are indirect. And they bear results only when there is devotion. In this age of Kali, direct method is especially more feasible than indirect method. Right? Because there is no time to go indirectly. Right? When you are traveling somewhere, right? You prefer to go in a shorter way, right? Especially when you have less time. So we don't have so much time to waste or, you know, spend on the way, right? So we have very less time. So Kali Yuga people have the least amount of time in their hands. So they must perform only Bhakti Yoga. And it is relevant in any other yuga, but all the more important in Kali Yuga, to take the simpler path of chanting the holy names of the Lord. And another advantage in Kali Yuga is that Kali Yuga people, because they are so desperate, they are so weak, they are so short-lived, their physical capacity, mental strength, their intellectual capacity is so poor that they cannot do anything beyond chanting the holy names. Right? This is how the 11th canto describes. The previous yuga people, they think that chanting, just by vibrating one mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This one mantra. It's not very complicated also. Only three names are there. Hare Krishna, Ram. Just by chanting this one mantra, I will get deliverance or what? So because they have so much capacity, don't give me this one simple mantra. Give me the longest tongue twister. Right? I can memorize it and meditate on it for 10,000 years. Not just 16 rounds of 2 hours or 1 and a half hours. Right? Because their physical capacity, intellectual capacity, and their sensual strength, everything is so advanced, they consider this chanting process to be way below their standard of practice. We have more capacity to perform practices, yoga or meditation, so don't give us such a simple solution. They think that it is too simple to bestow deliverance. Because of that mentality, they won't be able to take up to the holy name very easily. But Kali Yuga people, even chanting becomes so difficult for them. If this also I cannot do, I can't do anything else for my deliverance. So, out of desperation, there is no other way. That's why they take this way, more desperately. So, in Kali Yuga, chanting is especially recommended. Right? Because people also can take this up. Other people, they are not simple enough to take it. Right? They need a more complicated process of Satyuga people and other yugas. Kardama Muni not only meditated but also engaged in devotional service. Means hearing, chanting, remembering. Remembering is meditation also. But this is not possible in Kali Yuga. Moreover, perfection is attained only by those who are surrendered souls. So Prapanna. Where there is no mention of the personality of Godhead, where is surrender? So Prabhupada says, Prapanna Varadasusham word is mentioned here. Samprapede Harim Bhaktya. So there should be surrender. To surrender, there should be a personality of Godhead. Right? So bhakti involves a person who is surrendering and the process of surrender and the person to whom surrender is offered. Right? So without these three, there is no yoga practice. Keeping aside God, how can someone do yoga? One may do some breathing exercises, etc. for one's health, but you can't call that a spiritual practice. It may facilitate spiritual practice. 8th verse. Tavat prasanno bhagavan pushkaraksha krite yuge darshayamasatam kshattaha shabdam brahma dahadvapuhu.
Then in the Satyuga, the lotus-eyed Supreme Personality of Godhead, being pleased, showed himself to that Kardam Muni and displayed his transcendental form, which can be understood only through the Vedas.
Tavat prasanno bhagavan. Because Kardam Muni performed austerity so sincerely for 10,000 years in a mood of bhakti, in a mood of surrender, prapanna. So Lord is very pleased. Right? That was in Satyuga. The Pushkarakshaha Kritaya Yuga. In Krita Yuga, that lotus-eyed Supreme Personality of Godhead, Prasanno, he became very pleased. Darshayam Asakshattaha. So he gave darshan of his own transcendental form. Shabdam Brahma. Shabdam Brahma means Lord's body is understood to be Vedas. Right? Shabdam Brahma Dahadvapuhu. So he exhibited that form. Vapuhu means body, transcendental body. And according to Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, this Dahad Vapuhu can also mean he revealed his form of Satchit Ananda. He revealed his form of eternity, knowledge and bliss. And Dahad Vapuhu can also mean Lord's body, transcendental body is nourished by the scents and garlands and food offered by Kardamuni in Bhakti. As a part of one's devotional service and worship, they also offer such items to the Supreme Lord, right? Massage the Lord's body with fragrant oils or sandalwood paste, or do some abhishek with curd, ghee, honey, etc. And also they offer garlands and dresses, etc., right? So Kardamuni was doing all this worship. So Dahad Vapuhu can also mean that Lord's body is nourished by the worship of Kardamuni, like that. So here two points are significant. The first is that Kardamuni attained success by yoga in the beginning of Satya Yuga, when people used to live for 100,000 years. He attained success and the Lord showed his form, which is not imaginary. Shabdam Brahma means Lord's forms are authoritatively described in authorized scriptures, Vedas. Now we will see some details of the Supreme Lord's form in this next verses. The main point that Prabhupada is making here is Lord's form is not imaginary. Lord's form is authorized. It is described in the Vedic scriptures. Right? It's nothing imaginary. Kardamuni is not imagining any form. You remember that verse? Tvam bhakti yoga paribhavita hrit saroja asse srutekshita patho nanunatha pumsam yadyadhyata urugaya vibhavayanti tattatvapuh pranayase sadanugrahaya. So tvam bhakti yoga paribhavita means when someone is 100% engaged in bhakti yoga, paribhavita hrit saroja, then in the lotus of his heart, asse, Lord will manifest. Srutekshita patho nanunatha pumsam. How will the Lord manifest? By the worship of the devotee according to scriptures. Srutekshita. Only those forms that are described in the scriptures are bona fide forms. If one concocts his form, and they make a form of say five hands. Why only four? Lord can have any. Five hands also. why even number only? We can have odd number hands also. They may draw some figure and they concoct some verse. Not that. Prabhupada writes in that purport, third canto, 9th chapter, that Lord is not obliged to fulfill the demands of some pseudo devotees who concoct some forms. Lord only will reciprocate with those sincere bona fide worshippers who worship him according to the forms described in the scriptures. Right? Tvam bhakti yoga paribhavita hrit saroja aste srutekshita patho nanunatha pumsam yadyadhyata urugaya vibhavayanti tattatvapuh pranayase sadanugrahaya. With whatever mood that devotee wants to offer service to certain form which is described in the scriptures, Lord will reciprocate in that form only. Right? Same thing Prabhupada is saying here. Sometimes the impersonalists recommend that one can arbitrarily concentrate one's mind on some form he imagines or which pleases him. Right? But there is, here it is very clearly stated that the form which the Lord showed to Kardamuni by his divine grace is described in Vedic literatures, Shabdam Brahma, which is Satchit Ananda. 9th verse. Satam virajamar bhakam Satam virajamarkabham Sitapadmotpalasrajam Snigdhanilalagavrata Vaktrabjam virajombaram.
Kardamuni saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is free from material contamination and is eternal form, effulgent like the sun, wearing a garland of white lotuses and water lilies. The Lord was clad in spotless yellow silk and his lotus face was fringed with slick dark locks of curly hair.
Satam virajam, virajam, free from any material contamination. There is no passion, there is no other contamination of modes. Satam virajam arkabham. Arka means the sun. Arkabha means he is as effulgent as sun. right? Satam virajamarkabham and sita padmotpala srajam. So Lord is sita padma is white lotus, utpala means lilies, srajam garland. Lord is wearing a garland which is made of white lotuses and lilies. Snigdha neelalakavrata vaktrabjam virajorbam virajombaram. So the Lord was wearing a yellow silk cloth and his lotus face was fringed with silk, slick dark locks of curly hair. So what is that called? Kuntalam, right? Lord's face is always surrounded by curly hair, right? Preeti prahasita pangam alakai rupashobhitam lasat pankaja kinjalkam dukulam mrishtakundanam. Preeti prahasita pangam, with great satisfaction the Lord smiles at his devotee. Preeti prahasita pangam alakai rupashobhitam. So with his curly hair, Lord's lotus face is resplendent. Alakai rupashobhitam lasat pankaja kinjalka mukulam drishtakundalam dukulam mrishtakundalam. So Lord wears beautiful earrings and his cloth is shining like the saffron of lotus, yellowish. 10th verse. Kiritinam kundalinam shankha chakra gadadharam shvetotpala kridanakam manasparsha smitekshanam.
Adorned with a crown and earrings, he held his characteristic conch, disc and mace in three of his hands and a white lily in fourth. He glanced about in a happy, smiling mood, whose sight captivates the heart of all devotees.
Kiritinam kundalinam. So this is Vishnu form. That's why kirita is mentioned. Kiritinam kundalinam. He is wearing a crown. He is wearing nice earrings. Shankha chakra gadadharam. Clear. Svetotpala kridanakam. Shankha chakra gada are there in his three hands. And in the fourth hand, svetotpala kridanakam. He is playing with one beautiful white lotus, white lily. Manahasparsha smitekshanam. Manahasparsha means touching the heart. Smita ikshanam. Smita means smile, ikshanam is glance. Lord's glances accompanied with his smile are touching the minds of the onlookers. They are captivating the hearts. They are pleasing the beholders of his beautiful form. So Kardamuni was captivated. Kardamuni is already having this natural love for the Lord. Preeti Swabhavatma. He has a lot of love for the Supreme Lord. And when the Lord manifested in front of him, his love increased. Manahasparsha smitekshanam. So Lord's glances and his smiles are always together, described together many times. You see in various places of Bhagavatam, Lord's glances and smiles are together, described. Vinyasta charanam bhojam amsha deshe garutmatah drishtvakhevasthitam vakshah shriyam kaustubhakandharam.
A golden streak on his chest, the famous Kaustubha gem suspended from his neck. He stood in the air with his lotus feet placed on the shoulders of Garuda.
Vinyasta charanam bojam amshadeshe garutmatah. Charanam bojam, his lotus feet are kept on, vinyasta means placing on, whom amshadeshe garutmatah. Garutmatah is Garuda, right, the bird carrier, the eagle carrier of the Supreme Lord. So amsha deshe, on the shoulders of Garuda, Lord has placed his beautiful lotus feet. So Garuda is always fortunate to have the touch of Lord's lotus feet on his back. Then drishtvakhe vasthitam avasthitam vakshah. And it is also seen that Lord is wearing a beautiful auspicious Kaustubha gem on his chest, right? Shriyam, auspicious mark, Kaustubha kandharam, it is hanging from his neck. Right, and he also has this Srivatsa mark. So these are the descriptions of the Lord. So these descriptions which are given from 9th verse till 11th verse, 9, 10, 11. So these three are describing the form of the Lord as transcendental. And they are not imaginary descriptions. They are recorded in the scriptures. the decorations of the Lord are beyond the material conceptions. If you see in 6th canto, 8th chapter, there is a description of Narayana Kavacha. It's a protective hymn that invokes the protection of various incarnations of the Lord, various names and forms of the Lord, and various weapons of the Lord. So, it is mentioned that the decorations of the Lord are beyond material conception. So, there are prayers offered to the weapons and decorations of the Lord also. It is admitted even by impersonalists like Shankaracharya, Narayana Parovyaktat. The varieties of the transcendental Lord, His body, His form, His dress, His instruction, His words are not manufactured by material energy. They are manifested by His internal potency. Haasam hare ravanata akhila loka tivra shokashru sagara visoshana matyudaram sammohanaya rachitam nijamaya yasya. So all these smiles and glances and decorations of the Lord are manifested by internal potency. Right? Nijamaya yasya, by His own internal energy. The perfection of yoga, therefore, does not terminate in voidness or impersonalism. On the contrary, the perfection of yoga is attained when one actually sees the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Prabhupada says, the yoga should culminate in an opportunity to see the beautiful form of the Lord. So a yogi, when he performs yoga nicely, he will have darshan of the Lord also. Right? The process of Krishna consciousness is to deliver the form of Krishna directly. The form of Krishna is described in Brahma Samhita, Chintamani Prakara Sadmasi Kalpavruksha. Then we have this Brahmaji's prayers. Naumidyate Bravapushe Taditam Varaya Gunjavatamsa Paripicha Lasan Mukhaya Vanyasraje Kavala Vetra Vishana Venu Lakshmasriye Mrudupade Pusupangajaya. So Lord Krishna's beautiful form, ultimate form of the Absolute Truth, is described by Brahmaji himself directly. So the original form of the Absolute Truth is His cowherd boy form in Vrindavan. Right? So here Prabhupada says, the form of Krishna is described in authoritative Vedic literature Brahma Samhita. His abode is made of Chintamani stone, and the Lord placed there as a cowherd boy and is served by many thousands of gopis. Right? Lakshmis, thousands of Lakshmis are serving Him. These descriptions are authoritative. And a Krishna conscious person takes them directly, acts on them, preaches them, and practices devotional service as enjoined in the authoritative scriptures. So devotees trust, have faith on these descriptions, while many other people may consider it imagination or myth. 12th verse. Jata harshopatan murdhana kshitau labdhamanoratha girbhistvabhaya abhyagrinat priti svabhavatma krutanjalihi.
When Kardam Muni actually realized the Supreme Personality of Godhead in person, he was greatly satisfied because his transcendental desire was fulfilled. He fell on the ground with his head bowed to offer obeisances unto the lotus feet of the Lord. His heart naturally full of love of God, with folded hands, he satisfied the Lord with prayers.
Jata harsho apatan murdhana. Jata harsho means lot of jubilation sprouted from his heart. So he was very happy to see this beautiful form of the Lord. Jata harsho patan murdhana kshitau labdha manorathaha. So labdha manoratha means whatever he was desiring, that was bestowed to him. Right? He was desiring to see the beautiful form of the Lord by practicing his yoga. And also next he will desire for a suitable wife, so that he can create progeny. That also will be bestowed. So, labdha manorathaha. So, whenever someone approaches the Supreme Lord with a desire, Lord is kind enough to bestow that desire. Right? No one will be disappointed in their approach towards the Lord. Even if someone has material desires, Lord will fulfill those material desires in such a way that they will advance in spiritual life. So, this is the opportunity one has if he approaches the Lord directly. So another wonderful aspect of this episode of Kardamuni is, although he had a desire for a wife only, Still he approached the Supreme Lord. Akama sarvakamova mokshakama udaradhihi. Tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purushah param. Whatever may be your desire, approach the Supreme Lord. So he will fulfill in such a way that he will advance spiritually. Right? He did not approach any demigods. That we will discuss more elaborately, all that along with Prabhupada purports. So here Labdha Manorathaha, Lord, his heart's longing is fulfilled. Girbhistu Abhyagranat Priti Swabhavatma Kritanjalihi. So then he satisfied the Supreme Lord Girbhihi with beautiful prayers. Right? Swabhavatma Kritanjalihi. He folded his hands to offer obeisances to the Lord. And he also Patan Murdhana. He just fell flat on the ground to offer obeisances. He was offering dandavats. So Prabhupada says the realization of the personal form of the Lord is the highest perfection of yoga. And in this purport, Prabhupada compares Patanjali yogic system versus modern yoga system. So he appreciates Patanjali sutras also. The yoga system described in the books of Patanjali is authoritative. And the modern so-called yogis who have manufactured their own ways, not consulting authorities, are simply ludicrous. According to Patanjali, when one becomes free from all material desires, he attains real transcendental situation and realization of the stage is called spiritual power. In material activities, a person engages in modes of material nature. There is dharma, artha, kama, moksha, endeavors for all this. So, but actually the stage of realization of the personality of Godhead is kaivalya. So his proposal is that when one is free from material desires and fixed in spiritual realization of the self and super self, that is called chit shakti. And in full spiritual realization, there is a perception of spiritual happiness. So that is trance. And trance is of two types. One is sampragnata, second is asampragnata. Sampragnata is mental speculation. Asampragnata is self-realization. So in samadhi or asampragnata, one can realize by his spiritual senses the spiritual form of the Lord. A sincere practice of yoga according to authorized procedure described by authorities and scriptures, one will be able to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead in samadhi, in trance. That is called asampragnata. This should be the ultimate culmination of one's yoga practice. Right? So this is the ultimate goal of spiritual realization. So Kardamamani saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his eternal form. That is the ultimate goal. Devotional service begins with a relationship of the individual soul and supreme soul, Krishna or Krishna's devotees. If through the yoga system one wants to attain the stage of seeing the Lord face to face, but is attracted instead to attainment of some material power, then he is detoured from proceeding further. So one may perform yogic meditation and other practices, but through that he wants some petty benedictions, side benefits also. He is not just satisfied by seeing the Supreme Lord's form, but he is also desiring some siddhis, etc. Then he will be detoured. So Lord will give him a facility to fulfill those secondary or subsidiary desires, and eventually he will come to the main path and go back to Krishna. So, but Prabhupada says, real devotees of bhakti yoga accept only the material necessities of life absolutely needed to maintain the body and soul together. They refrain completely from all exaggerated material sense gratification. They are prepared to undergo all kinds of tribulation provided they can make progress in realization of the personality of Godhead. So the real purpose of yoga system is described by Prabhupada in this purport, which is to see the Supreme Lord face to face. And if one has any other secondary desires, then he will be detoured in his further spiritual advancement. And he also says Patanjali and there are some authorized yogic principles which are mentioned in the scriptures and mentioned by authorities. If one keeps them aside and then concocts his own ways of practicing yoga and has his own results to be attained from yoga, then he will not get the ultimate result. So that's how Prabhupada says. And bhakti yogi is not diverted by all these kinds of secondary results. He is focused on his devotional service only. So this is first 12 verses, first 5 verses describe Vidura's inquiries to Maitreya about Swayambhu Manu's dynasty. Then from 6th verse till 12th verse we have seen how Kardama Muni practiced yoga, practiced austerities to actually fulfill the order of Brahmaji to create progeny. Before entering household life, he wants to do austerities to purify himself. Then the Supreme Lord was pleased with his austerities for 10,000 years and Lord manifested in front of him. And his form is very wonderfully described by Maitreya. And now Kardama Muni's response is prayers. He offers beautiful prayers. Rishir Uvacha Jushtam Batadya Khilasatvarasehe Samsidhyamakshnostava Darshanannah Yaddarshanam Janmabhiridya Sabdir Asasate Yogino Rudha Yoga Jushtam Batadya Khilasatvarasehe Samsidhyamakshnostava Darshanannah Yaddarshanam Janmabhiridya Sadbhir Asasate Yogino Rudha Yoga.
The great sage Kardama said, O Supreme Worshipful Lord, my power of sight is now fulfilled, having attained the great perfection of sight of you, who are the reservoir of all existences. Through many successive births of deep meditation, advanced yogis aspire to see your transcendental form.
Jushtam Bata. Bata means he's astonished. Right? He was experiencing wonder. Right? So Jushtam Bata Adya Akhila Sattva Rasehe. Oh my dear Lord, today I am able to attain this. Jushtam means I have attained. What? Akhila Sattva Rasehe means the reservoir of all goodness. The Supreme Lord's transcendental form is the reservoir of all goodness. Akhila Sattva Rasehe. Samsidhyam Akshno Stavadarshananah. Samsidhyam Akshno. Akshno means eyes. Samsidhyam means attaining perfection. To see the Supreme Lord's form is the perfection of eyes. Even gopis also describe this. Gopis were, in the beginning of Venugita, they were saying, there is one beautiful verse. Akshanvatam phalam idam naparam vidamaha. Akshanvatam phalam idam naparam vidamaha. The phalam, the result of having eyes is to be able to see the beautiful form of Krishna and Balaram. Naparam vidamaha. We don't see any other higher purpose than this. Same thing Kardama is also saying. Samsidhyam akshnoho. The eyes have attained perfection by seeing the Supreme Lord. By traveling in various planets and species in the entire cosmic manifestation since time immemorial, since various yugas, divya yugas, right? The living entity is actually searching for this beautiful form of the Lord. Only when he is able to see this beautiful form of the Lord, then his eyes are satisfied. Then otherwise there is no satisfaction. Right, Samsidhyam Akshnor. My eyes have attained perfection today. Next, Tava Darshananaha, by your darshan. Yad Darshanam Janmabhiridhya Sadbhir Asasate Yogino Rudha Yogaha. So, through many successive births of deep meditation, advanced yogis aspire to see your transcendental form. Right, this darshan is not very easy. Darshanam no didrukshunam dehi bhagavatarchitam. Rupam Priyatamam Svanam Sarvendriya Gunanjanam. So to get the darshan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, devotees hanker, and once they get the darshan, Sarvendriya Gunanjanam, it is satisfying to all the senses. Right? So that is the highest attainment for the eyes. Here Bata, about this word Bata, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says, it's the Lord's highest mercy and my highest good fortune to be able to see him so quickly. So Kardama Muni was thinking that I just did 10,000 years of austerity and he gave me this form, right? He showed me this transcendental form. So quickly I have attained this darshan. just 10,000 years. So for them, in those yugas, 10,000 is not much. Right? They have that much capacity and patience also. Here, Prabhupada says, unless one is situated in mode of goodness, there is no real pleasure. When therefore, one's body, mind and activities are situated in the service of the Lord, one is on the highest perfectional stage of goodness. So the highest attainment in this material world, but better, best situation is to be in mode of goodness, of all the three modes. And one will be able to see the Supreme Lord's form, which is Akhila Sattvarasi, the reservoir of all goodness, only when one comes to the stage of goodness and eventually transcends that stage of goodness also. Right? So not the people in the mode of passion and ignorance, they will not be able to see the Lord. They need to come to goodness and they need to transcend the material aspect of goodness and make it pure goodness also. In the fifth canto, there is a beautiful verse which is spoken by Hanumanji in his prayers to Lord Ramachandra, fifth canto.
Yattadvishuddhanubhavamatramekam svatejasadhvastagunavyavastham pratyak prashantam sudhiyo apalambhanam hyanamarupam niraham prapadye.
You can show that verse also. 5.19. I think fourth verse or fourth verse only.
Yattadvishuddhanubhavamatramekam. Lord Ramachandra's form is Vishuddha Anubhavamatram Ekam.
It will be seen, it will be experienced only by one who has Vishuddha. He has uncontaminated consciousness.
Yattad Vishuddhanubhavamatram Ekam. Svatejasa Dvasta Gunavyavastham.
By his own Tejasa, by his own effulgence, the Supreme Lord will destroy the functionings of material modes. Right?
Svatejasa dhvasta gunavyavastham. Gunavyavastha. Vyavastha means system.
Gunavyavastha means the system created by material modes in this material world.
Dhvasta, Lord will vanquish that by his own prowess.
Right? To be able to access that form, one should be himself pure.
Right? Yattad vishuddhanubhava matram ekam.
That anubhava, that experience is done by only Vishuddha. And pratyak prashantam sudhiyopalambhanam.
Sudhiyopalambhanam is also same.
Sudhiya with advanced intelligence, great intelligence, which is freed from modes. Such people can see the Lord. And
hyanamarupam niraham prapadye.
Hi anamarupam. Anamarupam means one will be able to see the form of the Lord, experience the Lord who has no name and who has no form. That means who has no material name and material form. It is transcendental. He is beyond the material modes.
How? Niraham prapadye.
Niraham means without any false ego. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is devoid of any false ego. I surrender unto Him. Or
niraham prapadye can also mean giving up my false ego, I surrender unto that Lord.
Right? Niraham prapadye. The niraham word can apply to the Lord also and apply to the devotee also. So this is how one will be able to see the Lord. He is Akhila Sattvarasi. And only in sattva he will be able to be experienced.
When therefore one's body, mind and activities are situated in the service of the Lord, one is on the highest perfectional stage of goodness.
The highest perfectional stage of goodness is to render service to Krishna, to perform devotional service.
So Kardamuni is saying the same thing.
So for a devotee, the perfection of senses is to engage in the service of the Lord. The sense of sight, when it is engaged in seeing the beauty of the Lord, is perfected. So by taking darshan of the Supreme Lord, darshan of Radha Vrindavan Chandra, one's sense of sight will be purified. The example is of Ambarish Maharaj.
Savai manah Krishna padaravindayor vachamsi vaikuntha gunanu varnane.
Right, his mind is always thinking about the lotus feet of the Lord. Right, his words are glorifying the Supreme Lord. His sight is seeing the beautiful deities of the Lord. His nose is smelling the fragrance of the tulsi and flowers offered to the Lord. His tongue is tasting the prasadam remnants offered to the Lord. So like that, one has to purify all his senses. Same thing Prabhupada writes here also. When engaged in seeing the beauty of the Lord, it is perfected. Sight. The power to hear, when engaged in hearing the glories of the Lord, is perfected. Right? And the power of taste, when one enjoys eating prasad, is perfected. This experience everybody has. Right?
in the 11th canto, Uddhava also says, Tvayopabhukta sraggandha vaso lankara charchitaha ucchishtadasino bhogaha tava mayam jayemahi. Tvayo upabhukta sraggandhaha. Upabhukta means experiencing or enjoying. When we offer so many garlands and dresses and food items and flowers and fruits to the Lord, Lord will experience them, Lord will enjoy them and leave it for us. Tvayo upabhukta sraggandhaha. Gandha means sandalwood paste. Right, in Guru Puja we put, right? Tvayopabhukta sraggandhaha vaso alankara charchitaha. So vaso means cloths and so many alankara, beautiful decorations. So when we accept those remnants, those paraphernalia, that tadiya, we will be purified. Right? Uchishta dasino bhogaihi tava mayam jayamahi. We will be able to conquer your maya by accepting your remnants. By accepting the Mahaprasad of the Lord, or by accepting the garments offered to the Lord, by accepting the flowers or fruits or tulsi or sandalwood offered to the Lord, one will be able to conquer Maya, right? So, when all the senses engage in relationship with the personality of Godhead, one's perfection is technically called Bhakti Yoga, which entails detaching the senses from material indulgence and attaching them to the service of the Lord. Detaching one's senses from material indulgence and attaching the same in the service of the Lord. So, etadhi atura chittana matra sparshechaya muhu. In this material world, the senses of the conditioned soul are constantly endeavoring to come in contact with sense objects. That endeavor, when it is diverted to bringing one's senses in contact with the Supreme Lord's service, they will be purified. Simple. That's what Prabhupada says, which entails detaching the senses from material indulgence and attaching them to service of the Lord. So many scents are there, people will smell their fragrance. So instead, we smell the fragrance of flowers offered to the Lord. So many forms of this material world one will be enamored to see. Instead, we'll see the beautiful deity forms of the Lord, beautiful paintings, right, about describing Krishna conscious pastimes. So that is the way of purification. The exalted perfection of seeing the Lord is not exaggerated by Kardamuni. It is not an exaggeration. He says, "The samsidhyam akshnoho, my eyes have attained perfection by seeing you." So that means it's not a poetic way of saying it. It's not a sentimental or overreaction to the darshan of the Lord. It is truth. It is fact. So Prabhupada confirms that. It is not exaggerated. He gives evidence that those who are actually elevated to yoga aspire in life after life to see the form of the Lord. Right? He was not a fictitious yogi. Those who are actually on the advanced path aspire only to see the eternal form of the Lord. Akshanvatam phalamidam naparam vidamaha. Thank you.